Good evening, one and all. Yes, halfway through another week. This is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. Well, I love this time of year, spring, where, and, you know, all the daffodils and the tulips and everything are coming through. And when I was back in England last couple of weeks, I was walking along the seafront one day. I decided to have a walk along because there's where I was, a place called St. Osyth. They did an archaeological dig. There's a program called Time Team on the BBC that they basically have 3 days to do an archaeological dig, and they found all this Roman stuff, and they were looking for Saxon, and all they found was Roman to start with. But that you just walk along the beach and you see the sort of you know, square stones that they use for mosaics and stuff like that, huge fossils are found and stuff like that. But it was a day like it is here in Connecticut, with a blue sky and a bit of sun coming through and the breeze and everything. And I thought, yeah, this is wonderful. And especially this time of year coming up to Easter. And all I got in my head was the song, Count Your Blessings. Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Well, my guest today, she can tell you a few things about that because she's incorporated that sort of thing into her books. But I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Brenda Garza. Hi, Brenda. How are you doing?
Hi, Barry. I am doing great. Thank you.
Well, it's
sounds like you had a great time at the beach.
Oh my! Well, it was just being home and just sort of looking out. And to be quite honest, one day was really a bit dull and choppy. The sea, wasn't it? But this other day, it was just. There was hardly anybody around, and I was just walking along, and you sort of, because I was looking at the ground for all this sort of Roman pottery bits and all this sort of stuff, I lost track of where I was, and suddenly I sort of found I've walked about a mile and a half, and it was just quiet, and the sun was, well, almost shining, it was a bluish sky, and the breeze and stuff like that, and I thought, this is just, you know, this is it. And then you come home and you come back and you see all the daffodils poking their heads through and tulips and hyacinths and everything. I just love this time of year with all that sort of spring part and basically, after winter the earth is putting on its new coat for the summer.
Yes, it's wakening up and showing us the beauty God has for us. You're absolutely right.
Exactly, and I know that's one of your aims is to share within your stories that sort of thing.
Yes, it is, Barry. I would like for especially children, younger age, to know what God has created for them to enjoy and to the beauty that He's put forth for us, and just to know that He loves them. You know, He gives you all this beauty to look at, and He does that because He loves you. You know, and so that's what I'm trying to do with my books is to just open God and His world to the children and the teenagers.
Right.
And anybody else that's interested.
Exactly. Because I know, I'm not sure if it's your first book, but you had Speak Blessings. Which is a book that does that sort of thing. You know, it goes through. And it helps people sort of overcome the frustration, if you like, and that. So, yeah, just to see what blessings there are, what blessings have been granted to you.
Exactly. They're all around us. We just have to open our eyes and enjoy and just listen to what God has to say and all of His beauty.
And that's one of the things, you know, in the hustle and bustle of today's world, we don't stop. We don't just take that breath, that just stand there and gaze out, you know, over the scenery or think about, you know, it's not all bad. Think what I've got. Think what, you know, think, thank you for my family. Thank you for that sort of thing, you know, the blessings that you have. And I guess within that speak blessings, it's that sort of thing. What God's given us, if you like, and especially for kids in that.
Exactly, because there's so much in the world that they see every day that is not blessings. And so I like for them to focus on nice things, good things, and not all of the bad things that go along in the world, because there's more to that than what the media wants to show them, or sometimes on Facebook even. Mm. You know, let's share God's word with each other. Let's share what God has done for us today with each other and make it a better place.
And I think, you know, as adults, we can help with that. Just remember to encourage the children, to inspire them, to motivate them. Don't just sort of look at the bad things of, you know, encourage, basically. Just be there to help these their children along the way.
Exactly. Like, and when your child does something wrong, don't use the word bad boy or bad girl, because he's created in the image of God. You know, let's show him that his activity or his behavior that he did was incorrect, and it's something we don't want you to repeat. But you are a blessing to me for being my child.
Hmm. What sort of response did you have to speak blessings?
Well, Barry, I don't know where to go with this with you on this today, because I did not write that book.
You didn't?
No, sir. I wrote. I am an author.
Yeah, I know,
I
but
Brenda Garza.
Do you know that? Do you know what? There's another Brenda Garza in that case.
Yes.
Oh, now that's confusing me. Well, I know which one you wrote, but I thought this was a previous book of yours.
No. I wrote The Beach House and Shell Cove.
How peculiar. How peculiar that is. I mean, it's not a common name, and yet there's two of you written a book almost about the same sort of theme. That is so peculiar. Well, so that book's a wonderful book, but let's get on to your book.
I wish her blessings on her book, because it is a very good book.
Yeah.
But I wrote, my first book was The Beach House.
Right.
The Beach House. And it's about these kids that come to find about God and angels, and that God, Jesus is here for them. And they explore the Bible and how to use God's word in their everyday life.
Now, this is on a Starfish Island that they are.
Yes, that's the one. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the second book is Shell Cove, and it's the same gang of kids, as they call themselves, that are still exploring the island and finding out what there is in life.
Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
In the book, they learn about demons and angels and Jesus and God, and that you can just talk to God. You don't have to do an elaborate prayer. You can just say, "Hey God, I'm here. I need your help." Or, "Hey God, help me with this little issue here." And in one of the scenes in my book, I have a bullying issue on the playground.
Okay.
And in the scene, the little boy, all these thoughts come to his head, you know, like, I need to defend myself. I need to do this. I need to do that. But at the end, he makes the right decision. And it's through their Bible studies that these little kids are doing and learning about God's word and what is the appropriate way to respond when you're bullied by another kid. So that's what my heart is for God, the children to understand there's more than what the world teaches you.
Right. Now, Starfish Island, they're guarded by angelic forces on it, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the angels, actually, each angel is assigned to one of the children.
Okay.
And they actually have little encounters with these angels, and that's how they come to find out about the angels. Is that your tea?
No, that's my phone. It's all right.
I thought it went off.
No. But they're guarded and by an angelic force. But don't they have some sort of special spiritual gift each as well?
Yes, they do. And they're learning their spiritual gifts as they go through life. They're realizing that, you know, each of them have a part. Each of them have given a special gift by God, as we all are. There's something for all of us to do. And they're learning what that special gift is and how to use it, and that they can use it together. And so it's really opening some people's thought process of about angels and about demons, that, you know, they're here.
Right.
They're in the spiritual realm, and we may not see them, but they are there. And these little kids are learning how to deal with all of that. The island has been there for a long time. In fact, my third book takes you back to how this all started.
Oh, okay.
And yes. And so the little kids are learning what was sent from their ancestors that was left for them. They find little secrets that were left for them by their ancestors throughout their journey on this.
So, like the ancestors knew that one day that the children would come along, and this is the
right.
Yeah, this is the to work through the puzzle that the island is.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because,
and they leave them little things throughout the island that they find eventually.
Okay, because obviously, while they're learning this and working out, you know, with their spiritual guide and the blessings they've been given, there's going to be some challenges. And I think that happens to, is it Andrew, the leader in this
yes.
book?
Yes, sir.
So,
yes.
So what's, yes. what does he have to face?
Well, part of it is finding out who he is, because he doesn't see himself as the leader. He just sees himself as the older one in the group, and he's going to end up being their spiritual leader and helping them pursue each one of their gifts. And so he's struggling with that because he's not sure that he can actually be the leader. In fact, I got rejected by one of the book publishers because I broke the God clause.
Right.
Because my character, Andrew, couldn't speak to God in his dream. So Andrew's having dreams and trying to figure out exactly how to be the best leader he can be, which is something he really doesn't want to do. He'd rather just swim and surf and all that kind of stuff. Mm.
So is it a bit? Yeah. So he's got his own, and I guess this is the same in real life. You know, everybody has their challenges along the way, and it's how you face up to these challenges and how you work through them, and you know what help. Is there if you look for it?
Exactly.
So the you know, they're going through these. Say he's Andrew with his challenges, and you know, each one has their own quest almost. And I think the two girls are sort of hunkering around for clues about, you know, the mysteries in the island. How do you manage to keep each character on its own path when you write it? Is it you just do part of, you know, this is Andrew's story and this is, I don't know, Paige's story? Or do you work like that, or do you just manage to keep it on the broad scope as you go through the creating of the book, the story?
I think it's actually the first, is that I see Andrew in this spot, and that he's intertwined with the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then as each character becomes his own person, they mingle in throughout the story. I don't know if I explained that.
No, I understand. You have the one character, and then as he goes through that, then the others mingle into it, and then you concentrate on the next one, and you know, and you keep it going like that. That's interesting, because I think that's a great way to do it, because if you stop and start, you know, and flick from character to character, you lose it sometimes. You lose the whole overall plot, and it becomes almost like six individual people's stories.
Exactly. And that's what I don't want it to do. I want them to intermingle throughout the whole book, throughout the series.
Now, you said the stuff that's been left for them. There's some sort of secret library, isn't there, as well, they come through to find?
Yes, they do find a secret library. And they also, Paige's granddad has antique stores. Mm-hmm. And in one of the antiques pieces of furniture, Paige actually finds a piece of the puzzle in a piece of antique furniture. And then they, Michael and his brother find a piece of the puzzle in the library.
They all work together as in obviously another important part of the story. That they bring the various bits together. Now, obviously, there's going to be some doubt within them. You know, and the angels are there to help them, etc. But if they don't see this and don't see the truth, then that's where the forces of evil can come in and take over, I'd have thought.
Exactly, and there is some of that in there. In fact, Michael, I'm sorry, it's Alan and Lee that actually found the treasures in the library. Michael is the one that is doubting about where he is, and he's like wandering around in the dark because he doesn't think he's good enough for God's love. And he's heard everything. He's gone to church all the time, but he just doesn't think he's good enough for Jesus and God to love him. So he's wandering around in the dark in the second book and trying to find himself. But he doesn't want anybody to know he's wandering around in the dark. He wants to be this brave, macho boy that people look up to. But in fact, he's very doubting about where he is in life right now.
You get that. Everybody along the way, especially teenagers, children, what have you, you get that doubt. You get that, is it right? Is it wrong? Am I doing this right? And you do begin to doubt yourself. Even authors, obviously so many people. I remember a story, I've used before, where I knew a lady who wrote a book, and the book wasn't bad at all. We critiqued it to our writing group and stuff like that. But then she went to a writing seminar, and some person did a talk about, your book needs to be in this and this and this and this, and she went back and she rewrote it. They said, it's got to be in this format. And then they went to another seminar, and another person said, when you write it, you've got to do this. And in the end, that book really wasn't her. It was a mishmash of other people's ideas about how a story should be created and written. So it's one of the important things I always say to authors is you've got to have faith in yourself and believe in what you're creating.
Oh, yes, that's excellent advice, because I went through some of the same things, Barry, with people telling me that, no, you need to have your characters saying some curse words, or you need to have them doing this because it will sell more books and people will like it better. And I said, but that's not what my goal is. I'm writing this book in a different manner. Yeah, but I got that as well. Luckily, I didn't listen to it on my books, and my one of my editors, she just really ripped my book apart by had people in different scenes and all of this. Yeah. And it took me forever to put my book back together.
Right.
After the editor got done with it. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's very important to stay true to what you feel your book is saying and what you want the audience to feel when they're reading the book, that this is what you're trying to get across to them.
Right.
And that's what I hope my books are doing when people read them.
Because after all, it's your book and your story. Yes, they can help with the format and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, you've written it. It's come from your imagination or whichever characters talk to you and tell you their story. And that's the important thing that some authors forget, I think.
Yes, I think you're right, because they want their book to be excellent, and they want everybody to pick it up and read it and say, this is what we need to do. So they take the advice from the experts that's telling them what to do. And some of it is true, and some of it is stuff we do need to do. But like you say, I agree 100%. You got to stay true to what your book is, because it is your book.
Exactly. Now, you did say that you sort of write in the third book, or have you completed the third book?
I have completed the third book. In fact, I'm going over the rough draft right now to make sure that, the spelling's done correctly and if there's anything else I want to add before it goes to the editors. Yes, sir.
Right. Is that it? Is it going to be a trilogy, or you got some more ideas for future books?
Well, actually, I think when I'm done, it'll be a set of seven.
Oh, right.
I already have the fourth book kind of grouped together with things that I've already got that I'm putting into it, and it'll pick up from the second book. But I wanted to go back in the third book and try to give people, this is how this all came about.
Right.
And this is what happened. So I did that on the third book. It just felt right that's where it should be.
Yeah. Otherwise you end up with a prequel, and you know, but if you have it like that, then obviously people can read that as well as be still part of the story. Now, I asked you this before in the wrong book. But what sort of response have you received so far?
Actually, I have had very positive results on my book. My biggest question is, when is your next book coming out?
Oh, right,
they
yeah.
get to the end of the first book, and it's like, when is the next book coming out, you know? And today, in fact, I got asked by someone that came by, hey, is your third book finished? And it's like, no, it's not out yet. And I actually had a lady come up to me out of the blue and say, hey, aren't you Brenda Mize Garza? I have read both of your books. Is your third one out yet? And it's like, no, but I'm working on it. Thank you so much for reading my books. So far, it's been positive.
Yeah, they don't realize how long the process takes. Just because you've finished it and everything like that, you know, it's then got to go through the editing and the sorting out and the printing and all. It takes time.
Right, and the illustrations.
Yeah.
Yes, it takes a long time. I didn't realize it. I really appreciate authors more now.
Right.
Because I did not realize what an author went through to get their book in the written form.
Yeah.
Oh, but I really have an appreciation for it.
And then once it's – even then, I always say once your book's published, that's when the work starts a lot of the time, because you don't realize all the work that goes on after it's published.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Now, the books – I can imagine them appealing to parents and children alike. It's sort of book that it must be great for parents to read to children and also children to read themselves. Is that the sort of thing you found?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Usually the 10-year-old has been the youngest that I've had read it, except for one of my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And he's seven and he just loved it. I also have had several churches that have purchased the books for their youth.
Right.
That they're going to use in the summer for like summer classes.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's been very uplifting for me, because that, you know, that's where I want it to be. I want the children in the children's hands.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that summer school, summer classes, and even some, you know, some church schools and that like that. This could be a book that will keep them entertained as well as education.
Exactly. And I'm very hopeful with that. And in fact, I had a children's therapy group that purchased books for their children's therapy section. So, yeah. So it's making its mark in different areas, and I'm very thankful for the Lord for doing that for me, because it's exactly what my goal is.
Yeah, I mean, as you said earlier, and, you know, there's about the bullying and there's about the doubt and stuff like that. Children's therapies, a lot of children really have angst against, you know, worrying and concern about that, and is it right, is it wrong, and doubts on themselves and everything. This day and age, it seems to be increasing. But and your book, I can see, would really help those people.
Yes, thank you. There, I have a little scene in there too on one of them where one of the little kids tells a lie, and he's trying to get people to agree with him that it's okay if he told a lie if it didn't hurt anybody. So there's a little section on that kind of stuff as well. So, yeah, I'm trying to hit it, but hit it in a manner that it's a lesson of love and not a lesson of punishment.
Indeed.
If that makes sense.
Oh, no, it makes a lot of sense. And apart from the first part where we talked about somebody else's book, very nice indeed. I can't believe the same names. But, you know, it's been really great talking to you about the two books and obviously the third one that's going to come out. And from what you're saying, another four after that, so it's seven in all. So a lot of people will be keep on asking you when's the next one coming out. But what I'm going to do now anyway is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody, Brenda, where they can find out more about you and, of course, your books.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Barry. Well, everyone, I'm Brenda Myers Garza. I live in San Antonio, Texas. My website is brendamyersgarza.com. You can go on there and find out history about me and how I grew up and what's going on in my books. My books can be found at Barnes & Nobles or Amazon or Life Rich Publishing or Outskirts Publishing under Brenda Myers Garza. The first one is The Beach House, and the second one is Shell Cove. And I hope you enjoy them, and may blessings on all of you that have listened to the show. And I appreciate your time so much, and especially yours, Barry. Thank you so very much.
Brenda, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been fascinating chatting to you, and I'm sure these are books that so many people will learn from and enjoy. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. It's been my pleasure. You have a wonderful evening.
And you. Thank you. Well, there you go. Uh-huh. My guest today, and this is why I got it wrong. It's Brenda Myers, M-I-Z or M-I-Z-E, as you say in America, Garza, G-R-A-Z-A. I just looked up Brenda Garza. That's the thing. I did have about her book, new book and stuff like that, but, you know, I always sort of check around the internet, and I missed the Myers out. And that's, so make sure you look for Brenda Myers Garza. Brenda Myers Garza. Great books, and as I said, a lot of children, adults, talking to children or even discussing things, these books will be very, very helpful. Well, that's it now. I'll be back on Sunday with my music shows here on New Visions Radio. 5 till 6, we have Those Are the Days, music from the 20th century, with your comedy spot, your oldie, and, of course, always, as always, we finish with that slowie. And then from 6:30 to 7, 30 minutes of the British Invasion, music that invaded America from England. So that's on Sunday, and I'll be back next Tuesday with another guest here on the Book and the Chat. But until then, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget. Make sure it's